Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good day, America. You know, every time I hear that opening song, I'm thinking of being on a pirate ship and, you know, hoisting the ale, also getting maybe a little seasick, traveling long periods of time away from friends and family. I know we've been doing that. It's a beautiful spring day as we record this. It's an important day. We've been traveling across the country to awaken the nation to the benefits of constitutional currency, aka pirate money. And we're making great advances and progress in Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma, Florida, just in the past few weeks. And we're talking about legislative crunch time. This is when the time, you know, all this hard work that we put in, and we're meeting with the legislators, speaking in hearings and work groups and study groups and meeting with the people behind the scenes. How can we make this happen? State legislators in 24 states have been considering making gold and silver available to you, so that you could spend them like money, saving you from the ravages of inflation, protecting you, protecting your privacy. You know, America, this money could be spendable currency, and it could be gold and silver. And joining me in this pirate money effort, traveling across the country, is also the co-host of Pirate Money Radio, the incomparable Mike Carter. Welcome, Mike.
Well, it's great to be here to give an update, although we've been living 24/7, traveling the country to make this thing happen. I just want to say, if you're listening to this show now, there is more momentum around transactional gold across the country than there has ever been. And we got a short window to do it. Check and see where your state's at. You can go to transactionalgold.com if you're interested in that kind of information. But things are really, really happening. But it's going to be the grassroots that gets us across the finish
and
line.
And it should be the grassroots. You're the people that will benefit if we can make it possible for you to hold your wealth in the form of gold and silver. Your money. Gold and silver is money. It's not an investment. You'll see all these advertisements, invest in gold, invest in silver. You know, that's fine. I don't mean to dismiss that, but that's not what was intended by the founders when they wrote Article 1, Section 10. They intended gold and silver to be legal tender, money. And that's not what is intended in the Bible. When God talks about the gold is mine, the silver is mine, God doesn't need to make an investment. God has money, and that's what it is. It's money. And why? Why do we want money? Mike, what are the people telling you? Tell your Zimbabwe story.
Yeah. I tell this a lot, and I know you're probably tired of hearing it, but it's such an emotional connection for me, and I've shared it in Texas at the hearing the other day. You know, the gentleman from Zimbabwe, and I carry that $50 trillion bill that's worthless in my billfold now to show people.
From Zimbabwe.
From Zimbabwe, who said, listen, we never thought that there would be hyperinflation. We never thought that would be possible, and then there was. And I lost my house, and I lost my investments, and I traded my car in for two loaves of bread just so I could feed my family. Please, please tell the legislators, get this done. I want to be able to have some ready money set aside in an account that if something like that were ever to happen, and again, we don't talk about fear. We believe the dollar will stay strong and all that, but we want people to have another way to pay, to have an option
which
for ready money.
Which would be real gold and silver.
Real gold and silver in an account. And let's say hyperinflation were to kick in or some type of some short-term thing were to hit, and you could have a standard weights and measure. You don't have to worry about what's going on with the currency there because gold always holds its value over time. And now I could go to the grocery store. In his case, he's like, I want to be able to have some money set aside in gold that if that ever happened to me again, I could go to the grocery store and pay in the same price every day in my gold. Not like, do I have enough paper money to buy bread today? Do I trade my truck in to do it? No, I want to pay everyday low prices with transactional gold and silver every day. Please tell the legislators to make this happen in Texas.
And when he's saying everyday low prices, meaning that goods and services priced in gold are fairly stable over time, very, very, I'm an economist. That's just a known fact. And here's the other thing. You can't walk in with an ingot of gold into your supermarket and buy a loaf of bread. There's no way they could make change in it or scratch off a few flakes. But with modern technology, you absolutely can. And there's multiple companies that we've met over the past that want to either tokenize gold or they can make it like Glint that we've talked about before, where you can actually spend it with just a debit card, or you could get sell your gold and have it transferred onto it. It doesn't matter. However you do it, as long as this constitutional legislature will adopt it, we're favorable to that. And the idea is it wasn't just Zimbabwe. The founders of this nation, said Thomas Jefferson. Paper is poverty. What was he talking about? Unbacked paper money. That's exactly what he was talking about. Washington said, you know, using paper money exclusively opens the door to every fraud. And, you know, basically they knew, our founders knew that paper money would not work in the long term.
And you know, the people know that as well. I mean, the Uber driver last night coming back late from the airport, I had a conversation with him. He's like, I know my money. He goes, I see my money being worth less and less and less, and I know gold holds it. You're saying that this can actually be a reality? I was like, yeah. Now, that happened to be in Washington, D.C. as well. A year and a half ago, the Uber driver would not let me out until he said, how do I get this? How do I make it happen? When people understand how simple this really is, being able to attach a debit card to gold in a depository or vault somewhere and be able to spend that, like I spend dollars, anywhere I spend MasterCard, and have a stable store of value, and be able to fight off inflation. It's, I mean, I don't care what demographic you're in terms of income, race, anything. People understand this. They say, how do I make it happen? And it's happening.
You know, what's funny is wherever I wear my pirate money shirt, or even if I don't, I walked into places in Florida. You're the pirate money guy, pirate money. And they'll give me a big thumbs up. And I saw this book throughout the state capitol, yes, while we were there in Florida, and the same thing in Texas, and the same thing in Oklahoma, and the same thing all across this country. This is a movement, and you can be a part of it. It provides economic justice. All right, so let's talk about where we are. In the past week, we spent between two state capitals, Florida and Texas. That would be Tallahassee and Austin. We were driving back and forth. We traveled nonstop, really.
It was nonstop. And in fact, I have my my Apple Watch, and we were running so fast through the Capitol, up the steps to different meetings, across to conference rooms, committee hearings, panel meetings. My Apple Watch says, congratulations. It looks like you're exercising today. You haven't done this kind of pace in a long time.
So. Well, yeah, mine showed the high heart rate a couple of times, which is not great. But nevertheless, we were throughout these places. I think I slept in 7 nights. I slept in 5 or 6 different locations just because we had to move and go back. We had to go meet with Rod Martin in Destin, who's a, you know, he's been a part of this program for a long time. He's a great thought leader. But meetings.
And when you say slept, that you mean that very, yeah, I'm not sure we even slept. We were in different beds, but I don't know what we got to sleep. It was nonstop work 24/7.
It was. And we were just going back and forth, but it was great. And we have a lot to report on. I know, driving back last night, this is pre-recorded, but before we record it, driving back from Austin last night, just take a moment to stop at a Buc-ee's and get an iced tea and get back. I got a coffee, get back on the road and listen to some AM talk radio. I mean, that was the most normalcy we've had. And it's been like that almost all year.
Yeah. And of course, we had to get a power adapter so we could keep working and typing documents and all that stuff
in the car as we were driving. I was taking the notes for this show as we were driving back, and my computer dropped out, and we had to stop at Buc-ee's and get one of those little power converters. Anyway, we've had some big wins. And we have a lot going on, and we're going to share it with you throughout this program. But you don't want to miss any of this. You've got to find out what's happening in your state. And that's why we mentioned transactionalgold.com. That's a place you can go and you can keep up with all the things that we've got going on in all the states. We're going to talk about Utah. I mean, I know we're going to take a break in a minute, but Utah did an incredible study. And we participated in that study. In fact, I flew to Salt Lake a couple of times to be part of the study.
You were one of the key thought leaders, and there are some impressive people on that board. So to see the intellectual power that was put and the thought put behind that, this is a great document.
Yeah, no, it is. But while it was taking place, we were also, I remember being at the Admiral's Club, sitting over in the corner at the Admiral's Club, or being traveling, speaking. And I say, excuse me, I've got to participate in this and jumping off. The 2024 Utah Precious Metals Study is the seminal work with the greatest thought leaders. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about what's happening in Oklahoma and Kansas, Florida and Texas. All of these states are making progress, but they're not alone. You can learn more at transactionalgold.com about all the great work being done by state legislators to make gold and silver money again for you.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, I'm here joined by Mike Carter, and we're talking about how people across the country are really concerned about the loss of purchasing power from the United States dollar, the role inflation has played to impact their wealth. And, you know, we've actually done some deep dive economic studies on this. Wealthy people actually do pretty well with inflation. They can profit from it, the Cantillon effect and so forth. The Cantillon effect is based on 1755, I guess, Richard Cantillon wrote. He's an Irish-French economist, and he wrote and said, those who are closest to the creation of money can benefit from the creation of money, but those furthest away are hurt by the creation of money. And that's certainly proved true.
Yeah, and that's easier for people to understand is people, they start printing money, those closest to where the money's printing, it's easy to have access and benefit from that. You're a little further away, a little bit further down the income thing, you're watching your money just become worth less and less.
Yeah, well, you take Federal Reserve M2 money graph, and then you attach to it the top 0.1%, you know, the great wealthy that we're supposed to envy and all that, which, by the way, we should not envy them. We praise God that he has given us opportunity here in America. We shouldn't envy them, but why should the system be rigged in their favor? Now, that I oppose.
Yeah.
And the system being rigged in their favor is massive monetary printing. You know what the federal debt is right now?
It's hard to keep up with. I think we're around $37
trillion. Yeah, that's just, you say it, and you're absolutely right, because you round up, because we passed that $36.5 trillion mark. We're now $37 trillion. You look at the debt clock, and you can see it there. But that's hurting people.
Yeah,
average people.
It is, and you know, we're saying, hey, if you want to learn more about this, I want to go one step further and say, hey, if you really care about this, it's time to get involved. It's time to, you know, get up to speed on what's going on here. Figure out what you can be doing in your state to help move this across the finish line. Some states are closer than others, but you should be thinking about now, how do I get people together to make sure this becomes a reality? Because things are happening and we look at the geopolitical world, we look at the economic world, things are unwinding and happening quicker than a lot of us realize. And it's important we get this done now at the time where we've got an administration that's pushing the stuff down to the state level that we think is going to be favorable across the board to transactional gold and silver. And now's the time if we work together, we stand together, we can really make a difference out there.
Well, that's absolutely. I wrote a book, Pirate Money. You can learn more at piratemoneybook.com. That book has been seen in legislators across the country. It's been seen in the White House. We have friends there that have taken the idea to the president, and he gave it a thumbs up, you know, casually. But we're hoping.
It's been fun to walk the Capitals and see the books on the desk at all levels of offices out there, or see people who recognize, oh, yes, Kevin, I've heard about you. I wanted to meet you.
Or seen you, Mike. Yeah. I've seen you on Pirate Money yeah. Radio podcast, or I've heard your yeah. voice. I mean, it's the voice. In fact, somebody said that the other day at dinner. It's like, you know, you're the voice. And now it's nice to see the face that goes with the great voice.
It's been amazing to see what's happened, and it's bigger than us. I mean, I believe this is something that God is doing. Doors are opening up, but there's with that, because it's such a big idea, there's people, there's forces working against this.
There are, and because they make money off this. I didn't get to finish that chart. It shows the growth of the M2 money supply, and right along with it, the 0.1% wealthy get wealthier, the rich get richer, but the average American, the bottom 50%. They've actually lost ground as we've printed all this money. And that's what you're feeling in America today. That's what people on the other, misinformed people will say, that's capitalism is a failure. We got to get rid of capitalism. Go to socialism. No, we've got to stop the excess monetary printing. God's word is very clear. He hates dishonest weights and measures. Now, there's a beautiful study that we were talking about earlier, right before the break, the Utah 2024 Precious Metals Study. Now, I wrote a study for Utah, in 2016. the Utah Fiscal Risk Commission. They invited me to participate in this, but this study includes Treasurer Marla Oakes, who holds a Chartered Financial Analyst designation. He's the State Treasurer of Utah. State Representative Ken Ivory, Jefferson Moss, State Representative, Representative Kevin Stratton, Senator Kirk Cullimore, Office of the Attorney General, Dan Burton, Christian Chilak, Office of U.S. Senator Mike Lee, Gary Crittenden, private investor, former CFO and of Citi and American Express. Citigroup and American Express, CFO. Sophia DeCaro, Governor's Office of Planning and Budget. Kevin Freeman. Hugh Hannison, a fintech executive. Howard Headley, president of the Utah Bankers Association. And Randy Quarles, the chairman of Sinosure Group and former vice chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Wait a second, go back to that one. Former vice chair of the Federal Reserve was on this committee.
Yes.
Right, and gave input into it. And what I saw and read was favorable towards this.
Absolutely.
People should have this.
He said people should have this as a choice. He said, look, the dollar's not going away anytime soon. Let's give properly say what he said. It's not going to go away anytime soon. All you people who believe that the BRICS nations or whatever, slow down, take a deep breath. That's not happening. Now, other people disagreed with him, other prominent people. But what we all agreed on was that this is a state's right to do it and that people should have the option to have gold and silver as legal tender. You know, I'm rolling through the study right now. Ken Ivory says the total public debt stands at $36 trillion, so it's a little outdated, with interest payments consuming
by a couple weeks,
alarming share of federal tax revenues. This unsustainable path calls for innovative financial strategies to safeguard client interests. As Speaker of the House, it's important for Utah citizens and businesses to have a variety of options for storing and exchanging the value of their labors, including alternative payment systems and precious metals. Just keep rolling down. It talks about how these do better during recessions, how the mining interests are aligned with this. They feel good about it. The banking people ought to feel good about it. It actually outlines the key features of transactional gold technology, real-time conversion to dollars, peer-to-peer payments, secure storage, tracking capital gains tax liability, all the things we talked about in the book Pirate Money. And here it is, Freeman. That's me. Highlighted that Article 1, Section 10 authorizes states to grant legal tender status to gold and silver coins, and then explains historically how that includes bullion, and it's even evidenced in the Continental Notes. All of this is in this Utah legal tender study. If you just wanted to find it just now, just pull it up. I just went to Utah 2024 Precious Metals Study. You can do that. A search engine will pull that up. It's a free PDF. You can read it for yourself. And they use this, both Ken Ivory and Marla Oakes use this in order to promote the notion of a bill that they had that Ken Ivory, listen, so let's play, don't just listen to us talk about it. Let's play the clips that we have from Marla Oakes as he testified in the Utah legislature.
It simply allows a state vendor or service provider to choose to receive payment in gold from the state instead of dollars. And for the state, all it means is setting up another account like a bank account. There are a number of service providers, a couple of them are here and online, that can speak to this, but the state can push dollars, the recipient receives gold. And so they're able to have gold that's immediately stored, secured, audited, and the other things that are in the bill. And that really is the simplicity of the bill, but it provides a foundation that we build on as we look to store the value of the earnings and savings of the state and of the people of the state.
Yeah, I heard that voice. That's Ken's voice. He's a dear friend.
Yes.
Yeah, Representative Ken Ivory from Utah. He's the author of the bill that passed, by the way. It passed. Mm-hmm. But the state treasurer, Marla Oakes, he also testified on this bill. Let's play that.
I really appreciate Representative Ivory's work on this issue. As directed by HB 348 in last session, we conducted a study and create a report, the Precious Metals Study, and had several meetings over the course of last year and looked at one of the key components was this transactional platform. And so really that's kind of the basis of what we're talking about with HB 306. The platform could facilitate real-time transactions, dollar conversions, and secure gold storage in Utah under strict safety standards. Several precious metals work group members and presenters in meetings highlighted that a state-utilized gold-based transactional platform could offer citizens an alternative payment system, helping to safeguard their purchasing power against the erosion caused by inflation more effectively than reliance on the dollar alone. For a century and a half, gold was money in the United States. However, in 1974, the IRS, by policy, not by law or constitutional amendment, began taxing gold and silver as a capital asset and not as a currency. This means if an individual buys gold, whether in the form of coins, bars, or through a gold-based exchange-traded fund, any gain made when selling that gold, even if only because the value of the dollar went down, is subject to capital gains tax. Furthermore, gold is considered a collectible under IRS policy, subjecting it to the highest capital gains tax rate in the United States. For those who would use gold as money, this tax makes the proposition less attractive. If an individual experiences an increase in the value of their gold holdings and then chooses to transact using that gold, they are currently subject to capital gains tax on the appreciated value. This creates a barrier to using gold on a frequent transactional basis, since each transaction creates a taxable event. This is why advocates for gold-based platforms push for changes to capital gains tax treatment on gold. If gold were fully recognized as money, it should not be subject to capital gains tax.
Thank you. My name is Marlo Oaks. I'm the state treasurer here in Utah. In last session, we conducted a study and created a report, the precious metals study, and looked at one of the key components was this transactional platform. And so really that's kind of the basis of what we're talking about with HB 306. The platform could facilitate real-time transactions, dollar conversions, and secure gold storage in Utah under strict safety standards. Several precious metals work group members and presenters in meetings highlighted that a state-utilized gold-based transactional platform could offer citizens an alternative payment system, helping to safeguard their purchasing power against the erosion caused by inflation more effectively than reliance on the dollar alone. Because the U.S. Constitution specifically cedes a degree of monetary authority to the states, state involvement would likely strengthen the arguments that gold should be treated as money. State utilization of an electronic gold payment platform opens the door for stakeholders to advocate together with the state for federal recognition of gold as non-taxable money, establishing gold once again as a practical monetary alternative to the dollar. Utah's laws are grounded in Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution, which authorizes states to grant legal tender status to gold and silver coins. The Supreme Court has upheld the right of states to accept gold and silver as legal tender.
You know, that's amazing. Utah made great advances. They were part of the group that we brought here to Liberty Hawk Ranch, working with Representative Ken Ivory and the state treasurer, Marlo Oaks. But Utah is not alone. Other states are making tremendous advances. We're going to cover those when we come back right after a break. First up, we'll be talking about Kansas. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
This is a debit card, MasterCard. It's tied to a depository in Switzerland, and it has gold in it. I load it up. I put any amount I want in there, $5, 5 cents, 5 million, whatever. And whenever I buy gold and put it in the depository, it's at spot price. I take that and I can buy gas, I can buy groceries, I can buy whatever I want with it. And that makes it spendable, which makes it money. And I think that's the key, what we've got here. Three attorneys general have written that they believe that since if you can spend it like money, then it becomes money and it shouldn't be taxed at all. And so that's kind of the way this is going. Historically, as well, gold and silver have been something that the wealthy could store away and could kind of hedge against inflation, but the average person cannot. You go down to the coin store or to a pawn shop or whatever like that, and you buy some gold or silver, and you take it home, put it in a shoebox under your bed or a safe or something like that. And then when you need to liquidate it, you've got to go back and through that process again. The nice thing about this is, think about a single mom who could put $25 a week, $25 a month, whatever, in this account. It'll hold its value against inflation.
That was Senator Mike Murphy from Kansas. He was formerly Representative Mike Murphy when we first met him. He ran for Senate and won. Tremendous guy. He also came out to Liberty Hawk. And Mike, you deal with him on a weekly basis, it seems.
Yeah, great guy. And this is a legislator that won by walking and knocking on doors and listening to the people. He understands what's going on economically. He sees the opportunity that exists here. And to his credit, it was not easy, even in Kansas. But he got this bill heard. First wasn't going to be heard. He figured out a way to do it. More and more people started to capture it. This is happening. And now he's got, through the Senate now, gold and silver is legal tender. They're taking care of some of the tax issues. And they've got language in there that recognizes gold and silver as a transactional legal tender, electronic gold and silver transactional legal tender, which will allow them to tie into some of the movement that's going on with some of the other states out there. But huge win there. Now we got to get it done in the House. But it was kind of fun. There's another part to that clip, and this thing has gone viral. But you can watch that clip, by the way.
We've got Pirate Money X on X, formerly Twitter, but Pirate Money X. You can scroll down and you'll find that clip, and you'll find a whole lot of other incredible clips to keep you up to date on this.
And he did a great job. He played up on the Wizard of Oz, which you talk about in your book. He got that from there. Why Kansas should be the leader in getting back to the Yellow Brick Road. So kind of a fun thing, but great to see what's happening in Kansas.
Yeah, just to finish that analogy, the Wizard of Oz, which stands for ounce, is, many believe, a monetary allegory written by L. Frank Baum in the 1900s. We are familiar with this great work of literature mostly because of the movie. MGM made it. It was one of the first Technicolor pictures, and Dorothy had her ruby slippers, very famous. But in the book, they were silver slippers, and it was talking about Dorothy traveling the Yellow Brick Road using gold, the yellow bricks, and silver in her slippers with the Tin Man, the factory worker, with the Scarecrow, the farmer, with the Cowardly Lion, the politicians that had to be drug along, and some things never change, although we know some great politicians. But being accosted by the bankers, the wicked witches, and the flying monkeys, the lawyers, trying to keep them from getting back to real America, real Kansas, and they tried. They stopped by and said, well, maybe the Emerald City has the answer. Emerald City was referencing the greenbacks, and the greenbacks were called that. It was unbacked paper money. The only thing they were backed by was the green ink on the back of them. They were called legal tender, but everybody knew they were really unbacked paper money, kind of like what we have today. And they went to see what authority, what power, what was behind the curtain. And they found that the wizard really didn't have any power or any authority. So the answer, you've had the answer all along. Click your silver heels together on the Yellow Brick Road and you'll be taken back to Kansas. That was a call to do what we call pirate money.
That's right. And let's go away from the book, the story, which tells a great story, and that's how people understand what really is happening out there. But those two clips we just did in Utah, we heard the treasurer and this study report you guys were a part of. You brought in top constitutional experts. You know, so we had finance people with top constitutional people, you know, all kinds of thought leaders. And we heard Treasurer Oaks talking about Article 1, Section 10, the constitutionality behind this for our states to be able to take gold and make it legal tender. And this is not something that's being made up. This is not a story. This is real world. It's in the Constitution for such a time as this. The technology exists today. And there's great legal minds, constitutional minds that said, absolutely, this is constitutional. States can do it. And that's why we're seeing this movement.
Yes. Although people will look, they'll pull the Constitution up and they'll say, well, states can't coin money. And it does say that in the Constitution, but that's not what we're talking about here. There's nobody pressing coins that say state of Texas coin, but it does say states can use gold and silver coin as legal tender, and that's the only thing they can make legal tender. And then you've got Bronson versus Roach, which says essentially that a coin and bullion are identical. You've got the history of it going to a continental note where back in 1776, it says payable in four Spanish mill dollars. I've got one. Payable in Spanish mill dollars or the equivalents in gold and silver. Then you've got the Briscoe versus Bank of Kentucky, where somebody argued, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. They ruled on it. They settled it. They said, absolutely, a state can do this as long as it meets certain criteria. And every piece of legislation that we're looking at, we're trying to make sure that it includes the criteria of Briscoe versus Bank of Kentucky. You walk through it, states have a right to do this. They can't make anything else. They can't print their own paper money. They can't coin their own money with, you know, a nickel should have nickel in it, right? But the federal government doesn't have to put nickel in it, but a state can't put whatever they want to in a coin. It has to be gold and silver. That's the only option states have.
Because that's the standard. That's the fair weights and measures, and that way you can exchange same type of weights and measures, no matter where you're at out there. And the second part of that was Treasurer Oakes talking about the taxation piece and capital gains and how that should be seen as functional currency, functional money. And he said that was policy, not legislation, that sets up.
Well, and this is so important. I did a quick back of the envelope study when I took my family of four to dinner 5 years ago. Before COVID hit, it was about $10 a person for a fast casual.
Yep, I remember those days.
And you'd add it up and it spent $40, dropped $40, which was approximately 1/50th of an ounce of gold. You divide the gold price then at $2,000 divided by 50, it's about $40. Okay, here we are 5 years later. I take this, my same family, the four of us go out to eat fast casual. It's at least $60.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
That's on the very conservative. And yet, 1/50th of an ounce of gold, $60. Hmm. I could buy 5 years ago, 1/50th ounce of gold, I could buy a dinner for four. Today, I can't. Here's the problem. If I use a commercial application that's not legal tender, like Glent, which I have done, and I spend that, at the end of the dinner, not only am I asked to leave a tip, but the federal government shows up and says, hey, where's our capital gain? You bought an asset gold and you sold an asset and you had a gain. Well, I didn't have a gain. All it did was protect my purchasing power. Oh, no, you had a gain, $20 gain. And at 28% tax, you owe $5.60. That's how much you have to pay the government every time you eat out and use your gold card.
Yeah. And so think how often, I mean, every family's different, but $5.60 times every time you eat out with your family, times a year, that all adds up. And it shouldn't be that way because it is functional currency. You should not tax inflation. That's what's happening today.
All right. And we've got legislation in all these states. You can see it at transactionalgold.com. But we also have Oklahoma. We had a big win. We had a win in Kansas where it got out of the Senate. In Oklahoma, its neighboring state, yes, its state to the south, Representative Cody Maynard, who we've had on this program, he got his legislation out of the House. Let's play the clip from Cody.
That's right. I have a second bill. So House Bill 1199 says that any gold and silver, whether it is a coin or is silver and gold bullion, that it will be exempt from all taxes and be declared as legal tender. And I have provisions that make it usable in contracts again. So gold and silver clauses were very common back in the early 1900s before gold was confiscated. And this bill puts that back into law and makes gold and silver usable in contracts if you and I want to agree to that.
How does the state benefit? Does it benefit the state overall if you do this?
You know, to me, the total benefit is really to just the citizens. It allows citizens to transact in the currency of their choice. The state has no involvement in that bill. This is literally just saying if two parties want to transact in gold and silver, they can do so legally and through contracts, and the state won't tax them.
That's great. Well, where can people learn more about the work you're doing?
If you want to learn more, you could always, again, follow me on Facebook. You can look up Maynard for OK at on Facebook, or you can look up my website, CodyMaynard.com, and I'd be happy to fill y'all in with any information as we go through the process.
You know, we have a large listening audience in Oklahoma. The two bill numbers again, and if you can encourage everybody in Oklahoma, make sure that your legislative representatives know about this and support this. So what were those bills? bill numbers?
House Bill 1197 and House Bill 1199.
And the good news is Cody got his bills through the House. They go to the Senate and then hopefully to the governor, and they get signed into law. This should be happening in your state. And if you want to know what is happening in your state, go to transactionalgold.com to learn more. That's an opportunity to see the active states. And this has picked up national attention. Epoch Times just published an article that is out, states work to make gold and silver alternative currencies to U.S. dollars. And this is going viral, this article. It lists those states that we're talking about. This is an important thing that you can do to protect your money. And now, speaking of money, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. Now, here's the good news. Thanks to the work that we're all doing, you, Mike, and me traveling across the country, the books, and all the grassroots, it's not just Kansas, Utah, Oklahoma. There are other states in play as well. And if we can get Florida and Texas both, Governor Ron DeSantis told me personally in Lynchburg, Virginia, if we get those two, we get all of America. So we're working for you on your behalf. We're going to have to take another break. But when we come back, we're going to update you on exactly what's happening, almost up to the minute reports on what's happening in Tallahassee and Austin, two cities we've spent a lot of time in recently. So if you believe in pirate money, transactional gold and silver, you have to stay tuned.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm here with Mike Carter. Mike and I have spent a lot of time together these past couple of weeks as we have traveled the nation. We've spoken on video calls. We've been on conference calls. We've been meeting people, but particularly lots of time in Tallahassee, Florida.
Yeah, and getting, you know, doors open up to all levels of the legislature there, executive level, Senate level, House level. Very encouraging to see the access and the questions that are being asked by these legislators, specifically in Florida.
Oh, yeah. We met with the Attorney General. We met with the Senate President. We met with leadership in the House. How many lunches and dinners did we have at the Governor's Club?
Yes.
And one of them, I had a privilege of a private lunch with Nigel Farage at the Governor's Club.
Who happened to be in town, right? Nigel Farage from the UK.
Yes.
Happened to be in Tallahassee.
Maybe the next prime minister.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people are predicting. I'm not saying it, but a lot of people are saying that he might be the next prime minister.
Well, he certainly was giving indication of that.
Yeah.
So he's leading in the polls right now.
I was just trying to give my best President Trump impersonation. Now, you know, I didn't say it's the greatest thing ever, but a lot of people are saying, I hear it from a lot of people, but he could be the prime minister. He's certainly one of the architects of Brexit. We've had him on the Economic War Room show. He remembered
studio.
Me, which was cool. That was cool because I said, oh, I remember you. We did a great interview. You can go back and watch that if you want to on economicwarroom.com. Scroll through the episodes. I don't remember the episode number, but it was a great private lunch. We had a lot of issues raised. We answered a lot of questions. And I even had the privilege of appearing in a work group that they had. They had somebody from the London Bullion Marketers Association, LBMA. They had Treasurer Marlo Oakes, myself, and somebody from the Office of Financial Regulation testifying in a Senate committee, Senate Banking and Finance Committee.
And how to make this thing work. And what's impressive about Florida, you know, we've had a chance to meet with both the administrative and the legislative side, the executive side, but they're asking questions to say, how do we lead with this thing? How do we set up a systemic approach to make sure we've got the right regulatory pieces in place that will protect our citizens, but really build this to be a process that's regulated in the right way, but a process that makes it feasible for all Floridians to take advantage of it and feel confident in it.
Yeah, they also say, how do we beat Texas? And Representative Doug Bankson is there in Florida. He entered the legislation. He's got a lot of support, a lot of people behind him. He is also a pastor from the Orlando area, just a super, super guy. We've known him for several years. Art Alley first introduced me to him. He's a phenomenal guy. And Nicole, who works in his office, is really hardworking, brilliant.
She was making sure all the we're connected to the right people, follow up at the right places. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, we met with the various committees. I mean, they just laid it out. And I'll tell you, everywhere we went, we saw pirate money books on the shelves. This is not just Republican. This is bipartisan.
Yes.
We met with someone on the, I think on the Senate side, who worked for one of the senators, and they said he's probably the sharpest one. He was a former Miami prosecutor, and his staffer who we worked with, who's like probably his head chief of staff.
I think, yeah.
And we met with her. She was also a prosecutor in Miami. Brilliant people. And if they like something, they'll support it, but they'll ask a lot of tough questions. If they don't like it, they'll rip it apart. And he did ask me some questions in the work group, but he liked it because he loved the economic justice aspect. This is what I love, meeting the really good politicians that are caring about the people, that want to help the people. That was,
you know, in that particular case, and the panel was kind of fun because, he brought his book, Pirate Money, to the panel, if I remember right. He goes, I bought the book Pirate Money, by the way, because some legislators, different states have different rules and what they can accept or not accept. But he's like, I bought this book. That was the best, I thought, endorsement from
his
the minority
office,
leader in Florida.
His Santa office Park. Has the rule that they do not accept gifts, even books, educational materials. Most offices can. The rules, if it's helping to educate, it's not a gift of monetary value. There's no monetary value to it. But it was very specific to him. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to pay for it. I don't want you just to give it to me. And that was impactful, powerful. So I feel really good. I've got to fly back to Tallahassee. By the time this airs, I will have been there probably once or twice more. But I've got to fly back to Tallahassee. They're laying the groundwork for legislation that financial institutions that are regulated by the state can make it possible for Floridians and really anybody who wants to open an account there. I think they're looking at state chartered banks. They're also discussing other means, trust companies at banks and things like that. But you will be able to buy and sell in silver or gold using a debit card in Florida if this passes. Now, we got strong indication that the governor's in favor of it. Mm-hmm. Strong indication that the leadership likes it. No promises. It's
strong indications from the CFO, who's been on the news saying, I want to see this happen. Now, he's getting ready to move into a congressional seat, potentially wins that election. But you could not see a stronger endorsement. How do we make this happen?
Yeah, and as CFO is Jimmy Patronis, and he will, I believe, be the next congressman from the state of Florida because he's running in Matt Gaetz' seat, which is a very conservative area. He's got President Trump's endorsement. So it's highly likely that he will be in Congress. And that's happened with several people who've supported us. It happened with Riley Moore in West Virginia. It might happen in Louisiana with Dr. John Fleming, who's the treasurer, who might be a senator there. All right, so we feel good about Florida, but you need to keep the pressure on. If you live in Florida, contact your representative and tell them to read the book Pirate Money or learn more at piratemoneybook.com. Encourage them to look at the studies and the things that they're doing and have them jump on board. We need all the help we can get in Florida.
You can go to your state legislative site. It's House Bill 999 that Representative Bankson has.
And Senate Bill 132
Senator Rodriguez has.
Yes.
And that's in the process of kind of bringing reworks to the two bills align better together, working on the language still, but you know, we're meeting with lawyers and analysts to say, all right, what does this look like to make sure that Florida does it right and Florida leads?
And so we're privileged to be part of it. Mike and I have been in those most detailed conversations at the top and meeting. It's phenomenal. All right, Texas, we've got a little more work to do. Mm-hmm. Texas has been brought to us, HB 1056, which is brought to us by Representative Mark DeRazio, who's been a friend. He's been here in the Economic War Room. Tremendous guy. He had us at a state affairs hearing, and man, the testimony. People lined up. I want to say I'm in favor of it. Whether they were professionals or a financial planner or a single mom or retired people or the constitutionalists.
The room was full. Now, there's multiple bills that are heard through this process. But what we were told was because there were so many people there to testify, they pushed us towards the end of that segment. I was worried they're going to rush it through. They didn't. They let everybody that was still there testify. But when we got there at 8 in the morning and done at, 3:30 or 4. So
a lot of
waiting, a lot of testimony, a lot of good dialogue and discussion, but still some issues and things we need to work through to make sure everybody really understands this from a constitutional perspective and how Texas can lead with this.
Right. Everybody was in favor with a couple of exceptions, the bankers and the lawyers. Let's go back to
Wizard of Oz?
Wizard of Oz. The bankers and the lawyers, the flying monkeys, were the ones that tried to keep Dorothy from getting back to Kansas. Now, there were some lawyers, there were great lawyers, Chris Byrd and others in support, that just stood up and say, this is totally constitutional, but they're trying to obfuscate it because they want to keep us in that system. Now, that system is good. It should stay, but people should have a choice.
And Representative Raymond on the Democrat side, is he a lawyer? He talked like a lawyer.
Yes.
Yeah, and he was definitely probing and digging into the words from a how do we make this work standpoint.
80 people have signed on to this bill. That's a majority of the House. Don't let the rules tear this down. So if you live in Texas, find out about this legislation, talk to your legislator and let them know how you feel about it. You can learn more. You know, you can go to transactionalgold.com to learn more. You can read the book Pirate Money and learn more. You can read the Utah study that we've talked about to learn more. But now is crunch time. Over the next couple of weeks, it will be decided in Texas whether or not you're able to use constitutional currency going forward. And this bill is an amazing bill. We had testimony from some guy flew in from London to testify for. It is phenomenal opportunity for us. How, Mike, what's the best way for the people to support this?
Well, we need all the pressure we can get at the committee level right now. So it's all in state affairs. We have probably 1 week for this to answer questions, get this to the next. We got to get it out of committee. And so we got to focus like we never have before on those committee members and state affairs. And then we've got to continue to work with our comptroller. He needs to understand that people want this and that this is an important piece of legislation for Texas. It's an important piece of legislation for all Texans and probably for him politically. But right now, I don't know if the comptroller he's definitely not on the camp of supporting this. He's on the lawyers and banks side.
I think he's misunderstanding entirely. But what I think, if people want to support this, what they can do, contact your state senator or state representative in Texas and let your voice be heard. You have a right to speak up. You have a right to tell them how you feel. Some people decided the way they wanted to do it was they bought a copy of the book Pirate Money and sent it in and said, do this. Or contact Representative Mark DeRazio and say, we support you. We should probably pull up a petition or something and put it on transactionalgold.com where people can sign up and say, I'm in favor of this.
But what matters more than anything, if you can make a phone call, to your if you live in Texas and you can make a phone call to your representative and to your senator and keep
and the
it simple.
Lieutenant governor and governor.
You don't have to say a whole lot. All you have to say is, I support House Bill 1056 and I want transactional gold and silver passed in this legislative session. That's all you got to say. Keep it simple, but the more calls they get, that's what really moves the needle in the legislative process, especially during this time.
If Texas and Florida do this together, the world changes. That Ron DeSantis told me that. I believe that's true. All right, if you got questions, you got comments, reach out to us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. That's afr@piratemoneyradio.com. And pray. This is our time. Pray for America to return to God's principles. We have a favorable administration. Let's do this. Pirate money has a role in it. Listen to us wherever you get your podcasts and share it, Apple, Spotify, and so forth. This is Kevin Freeman joined by Mike Carter and Pirate Money Radio. Arrgh.